ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday morning out there in Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're going to get into all kinds of things. High school football state title games coming up this weekend. There was one last night.
There was.
That went according to form. High school hoops tonight. Elk City gets on track, gets underway. There's a bunch of small school action as well. We'll talk about that. Obviously, a huge weekend in college football with the conference title games. A handful of those that are going to shape and mold what the playoff committee decides on Sunday and who will be in that 14 playoff. Will we know who the next coach at OU will be on Monday? That'll be a question we can talk about maybe at the end of that segment. Thunder! Oklahoma City Thunder setting records. Amazing. Amazing work by the boys last night. Dallas Cowboys get a big road win, ugly road win, but it's a win. Doesn't matter. It goes into the left column, the W column. And then I debated starting the show with like an Australian accent or something. We went, "Good day, mates. Let's throw another shrimp on the Barbie," in honor of Brian Kelly and whatever the hell that was down in Baton Rouge last night, introducing himself to the LSU Tiger fans. He had too much crawfish etouffee, in the world has happened?
Apparently, part of the Ed Orgeron contract stated he had to leave his accent behind when he left campus and give it to the next head coach.
We got the sound of comparing Brian Kelly 2 days ago and Brian Kelly last night.
It's like, listen, dude, you don't have to sell yourself. You already got the job. You don't have to sell yourself to the fans or anyone else. You got the job. You got the money.
It also made me. It got me to thinking about other bad Southern pretend accents. I thought of one. And then the internet was ablaze with another that I didn't think of, and I'm sad I didn't think of it because it is better than the one I thought of.
But a good one.
We'll get there. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. I mean, I literally could do the whole show on that. Just play it and laugh and compare it to things. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon with three radio stations. Us, you've got KECO, Cool 94, KADS, which is us. You've got the Penny News in the app. Check out this week's edition of the Penny News online at thepennynews.com, or just go pick up a free copy of that Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. As I said, we'll get into those matchups coming up tonight. The Elks and Elkettes get their season underway at the Tip-Off Festival against Pampa. That'll be 7 o'clock.
Some good teams in this
and
thing.
And 8:30 at Weatherford. They'll start at Weatherford and Piedmont will start at 3 and 4:30. Is that right? No. It's different today.
I saw it just this morning. I forgot.
4 and 5:30 today, I believe. Okay. I believe it's 4 and 5:30, then 7 and 8:30. Yeah, that makes sense. It's an hour and a half in between them all. And so, you know, the girls and boys for Weatherford will play Piedmont and the Elks and Pampa. Then it flips tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Elk City and Garden City. Battle of the Brown and Whites at 3 and 4:30. And then Weatherford and Pampa finish it off at, that'd be 6 and 7:30. So it's going to be a good couple of days of hoops here at the Pioneer Center.
And tomorrow, isn't it? Tomorrow, Elk City will wear their Browns in the home –
it
home
will.
Gym, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, brown unis. You know, a lot of times, I wonder if they'll take over the visitor slot on the scoreboard.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I do too. Probably because it probably says Elk City.
Yeah.
Just to start, I can't remember in my mind.
But I doubt that.
So you got that on Big Elk TV, Paragon TV tonight. Some good ones. Merritt at Canute, Hammond at Visi, Leedy at Buffalo. Cheyenne is over at Sayre, then Burns Fat Deal City at Arapahoe Butler. So it's a full slate of games. All those Paragon games, the small school games, will be 6:30 tips. The Elks and Elkettes, well, I guess the Elkettes will tip at 7. And then the Elks will follow tonight at 8:30.
Jokes are coming.
Oh my gosh! I was like, "What?" And then I realized the fake Southern accent. That's a good one. All right, enough. Hello, Jared. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Listen, I mean, let's not fight it. It's what we both want to talk about. So let's just go. So Brian Kelly gets, or at least it's what I want to talk about. Brian Kelly gets hired from Notre Dame down to LSU. And he was at the basketball game in Baton Rouge last night to introduce himself. And the Southern accent he came up with was just off the charts. And so Jeff Darlington of ESPN, he went back and he found a clip of basically Kelly talking about how he's leaving Notre Dame.
Right. That leaked video that they got at the team players meeting.
Yes.
Yes.
And so he says the word family in this clip once then, and then once last night in the gym at Baton Rouge. And here we go. Oh, no. Something. Okay.
Those incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here in Notre Dame.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family.
Family.
And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana. But more.
Let's do it again. In case you didn't hear the first family. It's harder to hear, obviously, because the leaked video.
Someone's holding it at their.
He doesn't have a microphone.
Yeah.
Those incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here in Notre Dame.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana. But more.
Apparently that Cajun accent is more contagious than the Omicron variant. He got it in less than 24 hours as soon as he got there.
Is that your joke?
That was my joke.
All right, I like it.
That in the contract. My goodness, what a joke! What
Listen,
are we doing here?
Everyone, when that news broke, everyone kind of scratched their heads thinking, is this a fit? Brian Kelly? LSU?
Is this a fit? Yeah.
Like it almost lends credence to the fact that he doesn't even think it's a fit. He's trying to change his voice, do voices at the introductory, not press conference, but at the basketball game. My family. I mean, he sounded like a 12-year-old kid that's going through puberty. Me and my family.
Maybe he was nervous. Was he nervous? Maybe a little hiccup in his voice. He was nervous.
Well, yeah, he's nervous because he was debuting a brand new accent. Sure, he's nervous. Probably nervous as heck.
Oh, man.
All right, so that got to me thinking. You know, there's certain movies or TV shows or whatever, you know, where not everybody's from the South that's an actor. That's just the truth. And so, you know, where things are set, you know, you got to try to fire in an accent that maybe is not the way you speak. And I thought of one. When I first saw this, I started laughing, and then I thought, man, I haven't heard a fake Southern accent that bad since. And I came up with James Vanderbeek as Johnny Moxon.
I don't want your life.
I don't want your life. And just how obviously like a strain that was on Dawson to become Johnny. You know what I mean?
That West Texas. Yeah.
I don't want your life.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Okay.
I got a good one.
What is it?
I got a good one.
Because the internet trumped me.
I saw one. I got this from Twitter, so I have to give it credit. But it was Michael Scott when they were playing some Southern board game, like Who Was the Killer? And he kept trying to put the accent, and they kept trying to correct him. Like, no, it's a sound like molasses. It's cool. He just kept butchering the accent. Yeah, that's one.
That's not the one I saw, but that's a good one. I know exactly what you're talking
that's
about.
It's a good episode.
The other one that when I saw it, I was like, ah, I wish I'd have thought about that. Kevin Spacey as Frank Underwood in House of Cards.
Yeah, okay.
It was a struggle, man.
Well, he also played like a Southern lawyer in A Time to Kill.
Yeah, he sure did.
He was better then. He sold it more in that one.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Yeah, but that, yeah, you're right.
I mean, it was a struggle.
Yeah. Well, I think his, he had to do it for a series.
Yeah, it was
a movie.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, you can yell cut after a couple
lines.
He had
to turn it off, turn it back on.
That's
right. In the movie, he's just in character the entire filming process.
But, now,
yeah, I can see that.
Here's a pretty good one. And this is real life.
Oh.
A real life fake Southern accent.
Okay.
And, if you know, you'll remember this. Hillary Clinton. In this church at Selma.
Yes.
I mean, that was, you know.
Give me a break. Yes. Yeah. Now, as far as fake accents that are supposed to be great, I mean, it, almost mocking, it's supposed to be a comedy, Bobby Boucher, right?
Well, that's, I mean.
The Southern.
Obviously. They're,
excited Southerner that he brought to film. You know?
What's the guy, not Bobby, but in the video, or in that movie.
The coach who we always compared to Eddie O.
Yeah,
you know, that's
there was those memes that said this would be Brian Kelly by season
exactly,
by the season opener,
exactly,
or by the time spring ball starts.
Yes, yeah, but that I don't know. He's trying to get acclimated. I get it. He's trying to get acclimated to the region. I mean, has he ever lived in the South? I doubt it. He's always been a Midwest.
Yeah, he's kind of Central Michigan,
you know,
then to Cincinnati, then to Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's always been up there.
Grand,
maybe he's embracing it, you know. Maybe
it Grand Valley, Grand Valley State, or whatever that is.
I can't remember. I don't know.
It's in Michigan,
but he's just embracing his new digs.
You know how I know it wasn't very good? 32 minutes ago on the tweeters,
yeah.
Fox News has a picture of him waving getting off the private jet. It says, LSU's Brian Kelly accused of faking Southern accent when talking to Tiger fans at basketball games. Now, with the new, you know, with Clay Travis, I mean, that he's the first one that I saw post the video, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that's funny. And then reading the comments, that's where I saw the Frank Underwood comparison with Kevin Spacey. But great job, Brian Kelly. You know, it's been kind of tense times around this state for the last week. I'm glad he was able to give us some levity.
If he brings the Tigers back to relevancy in the SEC, especially in the West, and their contenders year in, year out, he can talk however he wants in that state. They don't care.
But if not.
Winning matters. He can talk gibberish.
But if not.
If not.
That's going to go down in the same annals of, like, LeBron, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Or who's the politician? Yeah!
Howard Dean. Howard Dean. Yeah.
That guy.
It wasn't quite that crazy, but
no,
it was close.
Yeah, because that's what he was remembered for.
Yeah. Fantastic work, Brian Kelly. Thank you. Now, not fantastic work last night. Brian Kelly is at the top of the list. My gosh, the Oklahoma City Thunder are at the bottom. Thunder set an NBA record for the largest margin of defeat in a 152-79 beatdown at the hands of the Memphis Grizzlies. And, you know, you can understand if you're a Thunder fan. You know, Ja Morant went off. Wait. Ja Morant isn't playing right now for the Memphis Grizzlies. So that's not it. Just an uninspired performance, obviously. But here's my thing about it. Listen, it's a horrible loss, and you know, the fun will be made of the Thunder, as it should be. But I don't want to hear anybody talking about embarrassing loss or they need to do this. This is what people want.
You want them to lose.
If you don't, listen, sometimes you don't want to watch how the sausage is made.
Yeah, it's true.
And so, you know, as a person that if you're out there wanting them to tank, you really wish that you could spread these 73 points out in about 5 or 6 different games. But, you know, that's just the numbers from this are staggering. So Memphis's bench scored 93 points last night. The Thunder had 79 as a team. It's the first game ever. This is ESPN Stats and Info digging through all this. It's the first time ever that a team's bench outscored the opponent by double figures. The Thunder, people may not remember this one, last May, they dropped one by 57 on the road, or at home, I'm sorry, to the Pacers. So the Thunder are now the owners of the largest road loss and the largest home loss in NBA history. Memphis had 82 points in the paint. Oklahoma City scored 79 total. That's the first time since 2000 a team had more paint points than the other team scored, period. Just awesome stuff. Awesome numbers. Just like, it's hard to even fathom how bad they were last night to get beat by 79. And listen, they were down. I don't remember if it ever got to 80. It got close.
Yeah, it got close. I had to look at my phone twice when that final came in. I was watching the Cowboys, and
yeah,
you know, knowing that that game was a loss, it, you know, I was watching real more intently watching the Cowboys, and that phone and my phone buzzed me, tell me the final. I'm like, that clearly, they've clearly added a.
They messed up.
They
somewhere.
Messed up somewhere. I don't doubt that they lost, but you know, sometimes, and I was waiting for the correction. Score was actually this, without opening my phone and checking it or nothing. And no, that was a real score. But you're right. A loss is a loss. You want them to lose. You want them. You want them to tank or whatever we call it to get that high draft pick again. I mean, then when I saw it was real, I thought, man, that should be worth two losses.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's just worth one.
Yeah, that's the only negative I see is it's only worth one loss, yeah. And you can't like take those.
Maybe
points.
There's a positive to this. We always kind of talk about this.
What?
Well, sometimes a loss can beat you more than one time. So yeah. Maybe they're just so down in the dumps and they're going to lose the next five or something.
If there was ever a time to not have to play till Monday, it's probably now.
Yeah. And oh, man.
Have to lick your wounds.
Well, they're probably going to be hungover on Monday after. You know what I mean? Like, good Lord, what happened on Thursday night?
I mean, at least you'd think like this would happen in, say, Miami. You know, that's one of those towns where you get there. Of course, it was the second game of a back-to-back for Oklahoma City, so you can't. Use the "hey, we were partying South Beach" excuse, like a lot of people do. But
yeah,
it was a rough one for Oklahoma City. Dallas, you mentioned the Cowboys. They were able to do just enough on offense. Defense was pretty good last night, forcing four Taysom Hill interceptions to beat the Saints on the road, 27-17. So Dallas improves to 8-4. They'd lost three out of four, and so that was a win that Dallas desperately needed because you look in the standings. You drop that one, Washington wins, and you're a game ahead in the division.
Washington's actually playing good. Yeah.
With Washington coming up on the road next week.
Well, you got them two out of three next.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a big win. First time since, what, 09, the win in New Orleans? And I kept listening to the post-game interviews, waiting for a Southern accent to come out of C.D. Lamb and Parsons and Dak.
They weren't there long enough in New Orleans.
Yeah, it wasn't over 24 hours. Maybe it was.
Probably had like sandwiches to eat instead of gumbo or something, so it didn't leak into their bloodstream.
That was a good win. The defense, that's why people were asking when you had to get a head coach because of the whole COVID situation with McCarthy. And everyone kind of thought, well, it's going to be,
Kellen Moore.
Moore, and they went with
Dan Quinn.
I kept wanting to say Mullins. Dan Quinn. That makes more sense. He had head coaching experience. He has a lot of head coaching experience against New Orleans.
Yeah.
I like that. That was a good move. And the defense clearly shined with, what, four interceptions, one for a touchdown. Once again, Diggs gets another pick. He almost had two. You know, great showing by the defense. When the offense wasn't working, especially on the ground, outside of the one long play, one long run, it's nice to see the defense step up. So,
yeah,
that's what they needed. They needed that win.
It was pretty funny to like the. I mean, Dallas really couldn't run the ball at all outside of Pollard. And listen, you know, it's blatantly obvious to anybody watching.
Zeke's hurt.
And he's just not as good as Tony Pollard right now.
No.
It's not even close.
Zeke's not 100%. And he had mentioned, you saw the reports, he's willing to sit to get healthy. And I think that's a testament of his willingness to get healthy for the team, one, and B, or two, he likes Pollard. I mean, he knows Pollard can carry the load.
Yeah, the problem was they lost some of these games, and you don't have the breathing room that you had, you know, 4 weeks ago. Heck, 4 weeks ago, they're 6-1. Everybody else is 1-1.
Yeah, it might be too late to sit.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, if you can squeak a game or two in that you lost, you know, do something at Kansas City or whatever it was, don't lose to the Raiders, then maybe you have that, you're able to afford sitting him a little bit. But that can't happen right now. Now, if Washington will lose, then all of a sudden you open up a three-game lead and you feel a lot more comfortable mm-hmm. about it if you split those two division games. Now, the good news for Dallas as we look forward, three of their four losses have come to AFC teams. So if they can finish out, they got what, 5 games left? 2 Washingtons, the Giants, and Eagles, and then the Cardinals. If they can finish 4-1 or 5-0, win the last 6, counting last night, a lot of those tiebreakers are going to go in their favor at the end because they will be so strong against their division, against the NFC. You know, outside of Tampa, they've beaten everybody else. And so, you know, that maybe that's the one kind of silver lining of losses is they all came against the AFC. And so when it gets down to tiebreakers against conference, against division, again, you know, their record is going to be sterling compared to some of those some of those other teams.
Yeah. But the next 3, especially 2 out of 3, the Washington series is going to be very telling for me.
Yeah, those at Washington, at the Giants, host Washington, the Cardinals, and then at Eagles to finish. Which by that point,
looks like
Eagles' schedule is super simple. So that could be a game, not necessarily for the division, but to get the Eagles in the playoffs. Maybe Dallas doesn't need it. You know, it will, that remains to be seen down at the end. But doesn't it feel like if they can hold serve here for the next couple of weeks, that Cardinals game, gosh, could even be as important as who gets the bye.
Mm-hmm. And right now it's looking like Murray will be back this week from what I've seen. They're talking about that last night. So if they come in health, I mean, that's a tough out.
No, for sure.
It'll be a fun game. A lot of at stake right there. But Dallas has to take care of business. They can't look that far ahead. They got to take care of business.
One more loss pretty well gets them away from having any chance at the one seed. So at that point, you know, you're worried about your division. If Washington can lose a game, get to 7 losses, then you're 3 up in the loss column with 5 to go. It'd be hard to blow that lead. But we all know Dallas is capable.
Yeah. Oh, sure we do.
Anyway, that's last night. Thank you, Brian Kelly, once again. Gosh. That's going to be a keeper, I'm thinking.
Oh, that's going to be...
Anytime we're feeling down in the dumps,
yes.
Just play some Brian Kelly and the giggles will start. Don't forget, what are we, 25 hours away from the final rendition of the Western Oklahoma Realty College Picks Contest.
Are we going to do a bowl thing?
We'll do a bowl thing, but it won't be – I mean, there'll be a clear
– Right. Like a big bowl pick 'em. You got breaking news?
Oh, wait.
What?
Breaking news on the Western Oklahoma Realty College
pick 'em. Oh, darn. You got my heart skipping. I thought maybe we got a news.
No. This isn't the last week.
Oh.
Week 14 –
Was that Army Navy and there?
Oh no! I'm sorry. This is week 14.
Yeah,
2 games kicking off Friday, which is today.
Right.
I just saw. I hadn't seen that little thing posted
Pac-12
to the top
tonight.
Pac-12 and Conference USA.
Okay.
All right. So if you're in the running, be sure and you notice that you don't need 2 losses for no reason. Anyway, thanks to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. I need a great week. I need a 10-0. I guess a 9-1. A 9-1 would get me above 500 for the year. Just a few games below. God, that missing those 3, just forgetting to pick those 3 winners that one week has me. I could be 63-64 heading into today. But instead, no.
Sorry about your luck, bro.
It's the way it went. There's a 3-way tie at the top, so it's going to be fun to watch that along with the games this weekend. Speaking of the games. What are there, probably 4 that matter?
Big Ten champ, Big 12 champ, Conference USA champ.
Well, American Athletic.
I'm sorry, American Athletic. I get all those G5s mixed up. What's their 4th?
I'm going to go with the SEC.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Those 4 matter?
You wrote them down here. I didn't even read it. Yes.
Hey. Start with Oklahoma State and Baylor. Driving over here, my gosh, the morning guys are – fired up, to say the least, about the prospects of an Oklahoma State win. And quite frankly, a blowout. Now, I do think that's possible because of Oklahoma State's defense. You know, in that first game, they held Baylor to a season-low 107 on the ground. And that was with a 55-yard run from Abram Smith for one of the touchdowns. So, you know, you can't take that away. But if you did, then you're talking about 52 yards elsewhere. You know, and, you know, Oklahoma State held them, I think, 3 of 15 on 3rd down, 1 of 3 on 4th down. Just a masterpiece defensively, so much so that it allowed Spencer Sanders to have his worst game. Threw three picks in that game, and Oklahoma State still won by 10, 24-14. You know, Sanders, all Big 12 quarterback on the first team. To me, that's, you know, listen, he was fine. That's more by default, though. You know, that I think more than anything, him winning that award, and it's not like it's not deserved. I'm not saying that. It's deserved with the way he played versus everybody else. But historically, with quarterback play in this conference, I think it might tell you a little bit of why it seems like defenses are catching up to offenses when the season that Sanders had was considered the best one of any quarterback in the league.
True. And not to take away from Sanders, but there's other quarterbacks who did not meet expectations. But he was a game manager that did good things at the right time. So I think it was a merited award. I think he deserved it.
Oh, for sure. But he wouldn't have been in the top five 10 years ago with the quarterback play that was in this conference.
Man, that's a good shift, though. You like to see defenses come back in a world where everybody wants to see the 50-point outings week in, week out. But I'm glad there's been a response to that in general. I am.
So down there in Arlington tomorrow, 11 a.m. is the kick on ABC. To me, it just seems like Oklahoma State, the same formula that they've had in every game.
Yeah, they don't
play great defense, don't turn the ball over, and you're going to win the football
game. Don't do anything different. I mean, they do what got you there. That being said, it's not just – it doesn't mean that OSU can just show up. I mean, Aranda's going to have them ready. I think that what's really going to hamper them is if Bohannon can play or not. I haven't heard one way or the other. I've heard that he – More likely won't.
I think that's a break for Baylor.
You don't like him?
No, he can't throw.
Yeah.
The other guy looked like he was way better thrower. Was it Shapen? Blake Shapen, I believe is his
name.
I kept
going back to it between the Ohio State and Michigan game just to check the score, just, you know, for OU's sake.
So yeah, Blake Shapen.
Yeah.
He was 20 of 34, 254, and two touchdowns.
So you think
that's
an advantage? I was throwing a quarterback at OSU that they didn't see the first time?
I just don't think they're going to be able to run the football.
Nah.
Like they want to. You know, Ebner and Smith have been really good running backs. But I don't think Baylor can't just line up and run it down OSU's throat.
No.
Now, Bohannon helps with running, but if he's hurt, that doesn't help you either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So at that point, then wouldn't you rather have the better thrower? And Bohannon's not going to be misinterpreted as John Elway or anything like that. Maybe Shapen isn't either, but it did look like he was more comfortable just throwing the football and matriculating down the field that way against a Tech defense that's okay, but it's nothing like what he's going to see coming up on tomorrow morning down in Arlington. Offensively, Oklahoma State, I think this is one of those games where Warren had over 30 carries the first time these two teams played. Hadn't seen that in a while. And a big part of it, I think, is Sanders' willingness to run. Warren had 36 for 125 and two scores. But I'm not so sure that Spencer Sanders isn't the best running back that OSU's got. I heard Pat Jones say that yesterday, and I got to thinking, you know what? With not the surprise element, but the fact that it's not just turning around handing it to somebody, I think that may have some merit to it because he sure seems awful dangerous in those situations mm-hmm. where he can not necessarily scramble to try to make a throw. That feels like when it gets him in trouble, when he scrambles to go get some yards on the ground.
Yeah, design it for him, absolutely. Like the option run that he had against OU, that was a great read by his part. And and you know, the speed took over. And, yeah, you know, and I like it when coaches, you know, play action, roll out, you're giving options to them. You know, not necessarily to tell them, if it's not there, go scramble. But if it's not there, tuck it and get what you can. You know, that's the way how you speak to your quarterback. You know, when you say scramble, he's going to try to make something happen, and then, like you said, trouble could happen. But you say, get what you can. You know, roll the pocket around, stuff like that. Let his legs be just as dangerous as his arm can be.
Yeah, and even more so, I think, in some situations. I mean, I like the Pokes to win this game. And
someone asked me what I thought, and I immediately said two touchdowns, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, I could definitely see a 24-10, something in that neighborhood for OSU tomorrow. And to me, a win like that, a two touchdown, I think any win does it. But a two-touchdown dominating win.
Get two touchdowns. Not like a late touchdown to make it get two touchdowns and look good doing it. You're going to really impress the committee.
And I think they're in no matter what happens
too.
The rest of the
I
day. Michigan and Iowa, Big Ten title. You know, it's interesting. These two teams, or these two games, are pretty similar to me in a lot of ways. In that you got the favorite that's never been there with Oklahoma State and Michigan. Neither one of those teams have ever played in this game. A Big Ten or a Big 12 title. Both of them coming off huge wins a week ago for the first time against their arch rival. Michigan finally getting over the Ohio State hump, obviously OSU and Bedlam. And then, you know, they've got this kind of scrappy team that most people think is just one last hurdle to get into the college football playoff. But Baylor's like this, and Iowa's definitely like this. Both of those teams can play really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the favorites, either Oklahoma State or Michigan, to me, if they get in any trouble, it's going to be their offense turning the ball over and putting their defenses in bad holes. Because to me, on both of these games, a punt is golden for OSU or Michigan because they both have very good defenses, and it's going to be hard for either of those other two offenses to go many times down the field.
Yeah. I like the coaching matchup in Michigan versus Iowa. You know what I mean? You got Ferentz, who's been there, I mean, since 98? 97?
Yeah, right there it was Stoops.
It was about a year before Bob was hired.
Same time.
It was the exact same time?
Yes.
Same year, so 99.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then you got Harbaugh, who finally got that giant gorilla off of his back by beating Ohio State. Does he overcoach this? Does he overthink this going up against this crafty veteran? Who Iowa, they started out the year really, really good, really hot, dropped off a little bit, but here they are in the Big Ten champ. So their goal of winning the Big Ten champ is still there and getting into a Rose Bowl probably. Rose Bowl if Iowa wins.
Yeah.
Michigan, they're in the playoffs. So I think that out of all these matchups, that's what excites me the most is – coach versus coach in this one.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting because if you look at some of the games that Iowa won against better competition, they did it with opportunistic defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Iowa State game, a fumble return for a touchdown right down there near the goal line when they made Breece Hall fumble. Seemed like there was one more where they had a couple of pick sixes that kind of made the score way different than what it should. It was early. Let me look at their schedule, and I can tell you which game it was.
Yeah, you always had
Penn
that.
State. It was Penn State, yeah. Where they Clifford got hurt, and the other quarterback was throwing it to him way too many times. No. You know what? It wasn't either. It was Indiana, the very first game of the year. I think they returned two for touchdowns, and you looked up, it was 34-6, and Iowa gained barely 300 yards. But that the defense was able, yeah, same guy, Riley Moss, had two picks, and both of them went for touchdowns. So that's a situation where I think that Michigan can get in some trouble if they start turning it over. Do you think Houston can beat Cincinnati?
Yeah, there's a chance. You got to think Holgorsen would have something dialed up, something written up, with time to prepare for Cincinnati. And it's all the pressure. Out of all these teams playing this weekend, I feel like the most pressure is on Cincinnati, right? Just to remain undefeated and to give yourself a chance to get into the top four.
I think so. And if anybody has to not only win, but maybe even win with style,
yeah,
I think it's this one.
And they've shown there's cracks in their defense. There's flaws there. Tulane kind of hung around them. Tulsa damn near beat them.
Yeah, somebody else too. There was another bad team that was right there.
Bad team, yeah. So, and Houston's not a bad team. I mean,
they've lost once.
Yeah.
And that was a game that they dominated Tech in the first half on the very first weekend.
That's right.
And then Tech turned it around and just spanked them in the second half.
Yeah, definitely. Houston has a big chance. Real big chance.
Finally, the marquee game of the day, Bama, Georgia. Most people think Bryce Young is the Heisman winner. After leading a one drive last week, basically. I mean, his numbers look fine, but Auburn really kind of confused him. What do you think? How close can Bama keep it? Can they win this game?
Well, it's not going to be Bryce Young. It's going to have to be their defense. you know, if they can keep it a low scoring thing going into the fourth quarter, kind of like, you know, we saw Auburn. Auburn had all the opportunities to put that thing away, and they couldn't do it. They missed out on those opportunities at home.
Threw the ball when they should have been running
it. Yeah, stuff like that. So if Bama can get in that same kind of dogfight with Georgia in the fourth quarter, you know, that all, what we always say, that gives you opportunities to pull off the upset. And it's, come on, it's Alabama, it's Nick Saban. They find ways sometimes, like they did last week. Good teams find ways. And that game for them last week might have been what they needed to go, you know what, guys, we can blow people out, but we can win close ones. We can come from behind and win close ones. We can force overtime. We can do this. So that, I think they come in with a world of confidence. And of course, Georgia, they're coming in, I don't know, do I say revenge? I mean, they got a big monkey on their back too.
Oh, the Bama monkey on their back is huge. They cannot beat Alabama.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart and the Nick Saban. Now, Jimbo broke that earlier this year with an assistant actually beating Saban, or former assistant beating Saban. But think about Alabama and the or Georgia and the games that they've lost, excruciating games they've lost to Alabama in Atlanta. You know, you had the, what was it, 2012 Aaron Murray game, where Georgia's on the doorstep to win the game and can't get it done. The time runs out. They've got the Jalen Hurts game in, what, 2017, where Hurts is inserted back in. I guess that would have been 2018, where Tua got hurt. Hurts comes back, leads Bama back in the fourth quarter against Georgia. Yeah, it was 2018. It was a year after the national title game. And, oh, by the way, the national title game.
Yeah.
From 2017. Where Tua hit the long pass on a second and, what, 23 or 28 or whatever it was. Just craziness. So, you know, I think you make a good point. If this game is close, heading into the fourth quarter, can Georgia, all of it's on them then, can they figure out a way to exercise those demons of the past against big, bad Alabama? Now, that's if it's close. I know our resident SEC fan, sponsor of the contest, believes that's going to happen. He's already told me the Bama's going to be, it's going to be way closer than you think. And part of it does remind me, like, I thought Florida was going to give Bama everything they wanted last year, and they did in the SEC title game. I don't think so.
Think it's all Georgia?
I think Georgia's just too good. I'm not going to tell you they're going to beat them 28-0, but I don't know if there will ever really be a sense that Alabama can win this game after halftime. If that, you know what I mean?
You know, it's very telling.
I don't think it's not going to be Georgia-Clemson from the first game of the year. Georgia's going to be able to put more points on the board than that, because Alabama just isn't Alabama quite like we're used to seeing. They're just not. And the that's going to get exposed. You know, my God, Auburn should have beat them without their quarterback. Arkansas went up and down the field on them.
Yeah.
When you look back at their results, I mean, yeah, they've won the games, but they're facing a totally different animal in what they're about to see down in Atlanta.
Yeah. Two things that impressed me about Georgia. There's only about one guy I can name on that team. One guy. Call it not paying attention. Call it because of all the drama we're dealing with in state. But this is the number one team. Once they got to the number one spot, and they've never relinquished it, I've always believed they were the best team in the country even before they got there. There's only one guy I can name on that team, that's JT Daniels.
Yeah, and right? He's not even playing.
He's not even playing.
Yeah, I know.
And they're still winning like they're winning without him.
It's one of the best defenses
of
all time.
That's the second thing that's impressing me.
It's one of the best defenses of all time, especially when you put it into this era of high-flying offense. I can think of two guys. Jordan Davis is the giant defensive tackle. N'Kobe Dean is a linebacker. And I've watched him play a bunch. Mm-hmm. But it's the thing about it is, you know, the last time in 17, you knew Roquan Smith because he was making all the plays. Absolutely. I mean, he had a bunch of good guys around him, but he was the one making the plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all making the plays. Exactly. So there's not necessarily the headliner.
Yeah, there's no star. I mean, there's no –
You see Jordan Davis because he's a gigantic human being in the middle of that defense, and you know who he is just because you look out there and go, good God, who's that guy? And then you see him move, and you're like, whoa, he moves fast too. It's like a mountain moving fast. What's happening there? But you don't know the names. It's crazy how good that they are, and you just don't kind of know it. Now, if you look at the SEC, all defense team, you'll probably figure out the names pretty quick because it'll be most of them.
Yeah.
But, man.
Yeah.
We'll see. Listen, this is – if Saban pulls this rabbit out of his hat.
It wouldn't shock anybody.
It wouldn't shock me, but I'd be pretty surprised. Just because I don't – this isn't vintage Alabama. It's just not. And that ought to scare the hell out of everybody because if not vintage Alabama beats one of the best teams we've seen in a while – Ruh-roh. Jared, read that.
Oh, yeah. You got to. We're running out of time on this beef sweepstakes, the Elk City Rotary Club's beef sweepstakes, where you got a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer, which is great. I mean, if you don't have a place to put your beef, because if you're like me, your freezer's already packed, you need a second freezer, we got your hookup right here if you win the grand prize. There's also a second and third prize, a quarter beef each. They're going to draw this a week from tomorrow, December 11th, at Christmas in the Park at 8 o'clock. You can get your tickets. Come by the studio. I got tickets. Find any Elk City Rotarian. They're all over the place. And one ticket is for $25, or you can buy four, get the fifth one free for $100 right there. And all the money, every dime, goes back into the community, whether it be the dictionaries for the third graders, all kinds of different projects year in, year out that Rotary does, not just for Oak City, but the surrounding communities too. So, again, running out of time, about a week left. You could, and you do not have to be present to win either. But we'd prefer you to be because it's always fun going to Christmas in the Park at Ackley Park.
That could be a big day because you know what else is that morning? Pancakes with Santa and the Grinch.
Hey!
8 o'clock to 1, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. over in Clinton. That's the same day, December 11th, next Saturday. The Pepsi Center in Clinton. Bring your camera. You got breakfast, crafts, photo booth. Purchase tickets Monday through Friday, 8 to 4 at 301 North 4th Street in Clinton. Speaking of Clinton, huge one tonight for the 4A state title. Red Tornadoes take on the Tuttle Tigers at Edmond at UCO. There was already one state championship crowned last night. Bixby now is the holder of the longest 11-man win streak in the state of Oklahoma football history with 49 straight after they just demolished Deer Creek 63-14. But with the Clinton Tuttle game, visited with Mark about it yesterday. I thought one thing that he brought up that's a good point from a year ago, I don't know what it holds now. It could, but they don't have a common opponent, right, this year?
No.
So the nearest common opponent we can find is a year ago, and that was Wagner.
Right.
And Tuttle went to Wagner and got beat by a touchdown, and then, Wagner put it on Clinton there in the final. So, if you want to try to play that game, you can that way. But that was last year. Different teams, different – it's just different than it was then. I expect it to be an absolute fist fight all night long.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if one team – really dominated the other just because I think both teams' defenses are so good it's going to keep them in the game. Then it comes down to who can make plays. I agree with Mark a little bit about Clinton probably needing to hit something through the air. As good as Powell was against specifically the Elks in the first game, that wasn't the case the other night. Missed a couple of throws that he's going to have to hit tonight.
Pressure in his face, yeah, and he was overthrowing it.
When you get those chances.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you get the chances against Tuttle's defense, he's going to have to hit them because I don't know how many he's going to have.
Yeah. The key is Powell. And Mark said it yesterday, and I've seen it in the Oklahoman with Cameron Jordan in his write-up about the game or preview of the game. And he's a key player for Clinton is Powell. And we know what he can do on defense, and he's going to do it. But offensively, can he get production on the ground like he's used to? And if he can't, can he make that throw, especially over the top, and especially if pressure's in his face because Tuttle's going to be bringing it to him. And it's going to be a tough one, a defensive battle, I think. We said it all – we said yesterday, we were saying it all week, I think first of 21 wins.
Yeah.
And if you get to 21, you're lucky. Because the way these two play defense, it might be 17-14, 17-10. Something like that.
Special teams play could be huge.
Yeah, like we saw last week.
A kickoff return, with Seabolt and Jones back there on the Clinton side, they're always a threat to score from any point in the field. Oh, here you go. Billy Tuttle's talking some smack, saying Clinton shouldn't be in it.
I've seen that on the social medias. Yeah. Oh, confident text to my personal line. Clinton will spank their bottom.
Oh, boy.
We got some confidence there.
Hey, listen.
You got to have it. You got to have it. You're going up against number one undefeated Tuttle. You got to You can't go in scared. I get it.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be
the first title since 2012, if it happens for Clinton, which is pretty amazing. I went back. So from 96.
Only one silver ball in between.
From 96 to 12. They won nine.
That's crazy. That's
crazy. And we're in it.
Yeah, how many
all but like three.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Only one silver ball. What do you mean? From 96 to 12?
No, 12 to now.
12 to now. Oh, okay.
That was last year.
Might have just been
I'm
one silver back
sure
then,
that's
too.
Right.
Do you remember who handed him that silver ball?
When?
From 96 to 12?
No.
That's funny.
No, why don't you tell me, Mr.
I remember.
Brown shirt.
Turns out I remember.
EC hat.
No, I think it's going to be
fun. I remember because I was there. We were all there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. It's pretty funny. Anyhow.
Who is?
It's neither here nor there.
Okay.
It's neither here nor there.
Who?
Neither here nor there.
Okay. Now, this has really lit up the text line.
It
has. Both yours, mine, and the...
Billy must not be working.
He must have taken the day
off. I hope he's voice texting if he's driving.
He's probably taking the day off. He's already heading to Edmond, setting up his tailgate.
Man. You know, that is something, the cool part about it being there in one location.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, if you wanted to make a day of it, especially today, it's going to be 80 degrees.
Yeah, go for the 1 o'clock game, the 5
Watch
a, or
the
3A, excuse me.
3A game.
Yeah. Go for the private school championship.
Yeah, or don't, or just tailgate, whatever.
Or tailgate the whole time. He's in the office. Good for him.
But,
get
there at 4 o'clock, grill some burgers, hang out, and go support the Red Tornadoes.
Yep.
I know I heard Coach Higby, or Red, where he was impressed with the crowd that Clinton had supporting him at Southwestern and looking for that to happen again tonight. And, you know, I think because it's been a decade, I think that fuels that fire.
Yeah, it's been obviously the team's goal to get back to that game. You know, they were so agonizing close in that semifinal against Bethany. It was a missed extra – what was that, 17?
Yeah,
missed extra
so.
Point in overtime. They got there last year. Lost a really good Wagner team. And ever since that game was over, all you heard from the program over there was their goal, like everybody's goal, but, you know, Clinton, it's a realistic goal year in, year out, is to get to that title game, and they want to get back on top of 4A. And it's not just their goal. I think it's the entire city's goal. I mean, Clinton's going to be a ghost town tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I have personally seen what fuel that can add to the fire. You know, when our guys, mm-hmm. as juniors, lost over there at Weatherford to Clinton. And the next day, that score was plastered all over the weight room.
Yeah.
And all over the field house. It just was. For an entire year, that's every time you walked in that building that you saw that score.
This year, more than not, and you know where I'm from and who I'm friends with on my social medias and stuff, this year, more than not, I've seen a lot of the past players reach out via social media to the current, like sending a message to them. You know, get it done, all that stuff.
Right.
Try to inspire them. You know, guys from our days and beyond, I mean, further back. It's pretty cool to see. So I'm anxious to see that one.
I mean, I would say this to everybody, but good luck, Clinton.
Well, we want the gold ball back in Western Oklahoma, back in 4A1, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe for some teams. Not all.
Yeah, I don't want to see Cashwood. How about that?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
No, seriously, though.
Great. I mean, now we just gave Cash some banter
yeah,
to play on their intercom next year.
Kidding. We're kidding. Mr. Dunley, we're kidding. Inside joke. No, seriously, though. Good luck to the Red Tornadoes. For years and years, once Elk City is eliminated, you know, used to, we could hear it on the radio here at Elk City. So, if it was on TV or whatever, but I can remember listening to tons and tons of Clinton Red Tornado playoff football. Unfortunately, now you can't. You know, it's just the way of the past. But, you know, for years and years, listening to Dennis and Allen call state title games on the radio because they were still playing all those years with Coach Lee at the helm of that program. So, you can not like Clinton as an Elk City guy, but you damn sure have to respect what they've been all about all these years. And so I certainly do. So good luck to them. And like you said, it'd be nice to get it back west of I-35. That's going to happen no matter what. But 4A1, it's been a while. a decade. And I know
get it back on.
I know the folks over there in the Maroon and Gold aren't used to going that long without a gold ball in the trophy case. Coach Lee spoiled him big time with that run that he had through the mid-90s all the way through the early 2010s. So, good luck to the Red Tornadoes. 7 o'clock tonight.
7? Yeah.
7 o'clock.
I might be a little distracted in my games tonight. I might say, hey, Jess Moore.
He's going to have Jess do both.
Let's just throw two headsets on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some reason my computer's on the NFHS. I can't get it in. I can't get vMix open. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back to talk about it all. Willow, you have a coach on Monday.
Yes.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.